Hello, this is the next play. I'm Bryce.
I'm Ella. And we're here with head coach of the Mount Vernon football team, Mark Weber, and senior captain, Lane Massard.
So today we're going to talk about the turnaround, player safety, player wellness, leadership, team bonding, and the impact of outside sources. To start, we're going to talk about from going 2-8 to 6-5 and making the playoffs. How do you think this new standard is going to be continued for the upcoming years?
I think the new standard is that there is a standard now. There is an expectation of excellence, and there's an expectation of doing things the right way. There's an expectation of coming to the off-season workouts. There's an expectation of winning. That was the biggest thing that was holding us back is, you know, some guys weren't even sure we could score a touchdown. Now we scored 43 in a season. So it's a standard and an expectation that that's what we do, and it's much easier to build off that.
And then with the new talents coming up, like Emmanuel, and then we got Landon Dawson, how do you think we're going to continue this?
Yeah, there's definitely a ton of talent in the lower grades. You got Jake Hubbard, you have Emmanuel Woods, you have Liam Richards, you have Landon Dawson. So the skill positions for sure have some upcoming talent, and there's a ton of guys I didn't even mention. But we're definitely going to have to replace that offensive line. They were the heart and soul of the team, not necessarily by numbers because you can't really measure an offensive line, right, because they don't really get stats. Mm-hmm. But I do know that they, you know, over 2,800 yards rushing on the season, that we have to replace four of those guys. Now, their leadership has done a great job to get guys like Trevor Jones ready, Seth Waters, and other guys. There's some incoming freshmen that might even see the field. So we'll roll our sleeves up and get to work on that. But I think it's going to be exciting in the future. It's going to be an explosive looking offense, a little bit more passing mixed in with that run.
Lane, would you like to comment on?
Oh, I think I agree that it's going to be sweet. I'm excited to come back and look at it because, like, I went 1-9, 2-8, 2-8, 6-5. And to be able to come back, and it's only going to get better. Right? We all, as seniors, we know it's only going to get better. So you would come back and see what we set the foundation is going to be sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
So one thing we've noticed, Coach Weber, you like to use metaphors. When talking, like at the bonfire, you use the bamboo tree metaphor. How do you think that applies to your team, and how have you seen this happen in real time?
Yeah, so the metaphors we always use is like, it means a bigger picture, right? So I feel like Mount Vernon's always been focused on having a good football team, and they don't because they're focused on winning. And like when you focus on something, it's kind of weird. You actually like sometimes do the opposite. So like when you focus on wanting to do so well on that test and all you focus on is getting an A, then you take the test and your brain like blanks, right? So we've focused on just building a foundation, treating people right, working hard. We focused on something called a process. And then the games just organically happen. So, you know, Coach Richards talks about you shouldn't even know the score of the game when you're playing, because you should be so immersed in the game and focused on your job that the scoreboard, it's like in the fourth quarter, oh, we are leading or we are winning. So in Mount Vernon, we've been focused on just winning and not those other things. So it was like a backwards mindset. So we've kind of flipped the mindset with those metaphors on how to win, how to build, how to treat people right, and give the kids something like a real life thing to latch on to.
Next, we're going to talk about player wellness. Looking at the team now compared to the start of the season, you guys have had a lot of injuries, especially in the beginning of this season. How have you guys been focusing on the health of your players and making those improvements in the injuries?
For sure. So, you know, those guys work in the off season. One thing about, you know, building your body, when you play with full speed and reckless abandon, it's going to break. You don't know when, you don't know how, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it just hurts throughout the season. Football is a violent, physical, mean game. There's no way around that. And when you're playing Division I teams and Division II teams, there's going to be casualties, okay? The great thing about football, too, is, like, you have to bounce back. So injuries are a true test to your will. Like, everybody's good when it's going good. But after you break an ankle, how are you going to bounce back? After you break a collarbone, how are you going to bounce back? And the guys that had those pretty big injuries in the beginning of the year, they played week 11 in the playoff game. So they bounced back from a broken bone. Okay. We always say it's going to heal. And they persevere. The biggest thing that we look at is, I think that's more important than physical health is mental health. So how did those guys do while they were hurt? Were they engaged with the team? Were they helping? Were they staying around their, you know, friends so that they don't become depressed and they don't go into a spot that you don't necessarily want to see? So mental health is probably bigger to us than the physical health. Yeah, physical health is important, but you can't prevent a lot of those injuries in football.
Yeah. And then with Guardian caps, Titans, the new Axiom helmets, how do you think those can help the team and kind of help the player wellness?
I think we only recorded one concussion all season. So obviously when we talk mental health, protecting that brain, that's part of it, right? So the brain thing is, you know, the neck and the brain is what we try to protect the most. And we go all in. We've spent a ton of money. I think those Axioms were about almost $1,000 a piece. The Guardians are $50 a piece per player. What was the other thing you mentioned?
The Titans.
And the Titans tell us, like, if the players are getting the load too much. So, like, head injuries happen when players start to get tired, dehydrated, mentally not in it. That's when you're going to get hit hard. You know, that's when you're going to sustain a serious injury to the head. And we're trying to prevent that.
Mm-hmm. And halfway through the season, you brought in Dr. Fetty.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come in over Thursdays. How did that help the team?
Yeah, just like another layer of help, you know. There's only so many hands around here. So there's only so many hands that our trainer Ben can, he can only service so many in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a time. Plus he's got other sports. So any type of outside help that is certified medical professional can really help the team stay healthy as possible.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, the Sundays and Saturdays, ice baths, all the stretching, yogas, that's definitely a big part of it, yeah.
It's another layer of things that we have done now that we haven't been. Because before, what would happen in the previous culture, you would lose, you would feel bad about yourself, then you would go home and be sad that you lost, and hope, which we say hope is not a strategy, hope is not a plan, you would hope that you win the next week. Where now we're putting a system in place. It is a well thought out process of how to help win. And as you saw at the end of the year, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win. There's still teams that are better, but we're just got to keep refining the process, keep players healthy, keep players, you know, adjusted, keep players, you know, on the field. Best ability is availability. And then hopefully we can just continue to, as I said, hope. We plan to continue to improve each year.
Next thing we're going to talk about is the leadership on the team. So when looking at the leadership over the past years, have you seen a shift in the role of the leaders and captains like Lane? And how have they been helping the team improve physically and mentally?
I'm going to deflect this to Lane because he's been in it the longest. Okay, so Lane, she wants to know, how has the leadership changed?
I think we're more with the guys. We're, in the past, it's been the leaders are kind of aloof. They're kind of their own. Like, it's been like we're with our dudes. Like, we had three captains on the O-line, and that's huge. It's a big reason our O-line was so effective was because we all were leaders and we all wanted to be able to run the ball. So we were really good at it. And being able to, if the locker room's not clean, the captains take care of it, it's not going to be a problem again. It's a huge part of the coaches don't have to worry about that aspect of it, so they can focus on getting us in a position to win games and not have to worry about it showing up and do they have what they need. Captains deal with that, and that's what captains do.
And I would like to just add to that, we've taken like an upside-down approach. So in most cultures, the freshmen are at the bottom, right? So in most cultures, the freshman, hey, wait your turn, you get whatever, the last of the last, right? So we've kind of made it to where the seniors say, hey, freshmen, what do you need? Hey, sophomores, what do you need? We're here to help you. We're here to show you so that when we leave, you can continue this tradition. You can continue this winning. Not when we leave, you're never going to win again. It's like a flipped mindset that I think was happening when the seniors left. They might have hoped that, okay, they needed us so bad, where these seniors are hoping and planning that the juniors and the sophomores and the freshmen are actually better. It's pretty cool to see when the older guys want to see the classes behind them be better. So,
kind of relating to leadership, you guys have been attending a lot of team bonding activities where you guys have like special guests come in. How has that impacted the team and how has that showed them like outside perspectives?
Yeah, so we've brought in, I mean, Eric Lichter is a world-class trainer, but also like a motivational speaker. Like he's been around these elite people, so he knows what it takes. We've had a group of brothers that all played at Central Florida, University of Central Florida. They came in for a weekend and hung with the team, and they were previous NFL and Division I college football players. Saran Stacy just came and talked to the team yesterday. He played at Alabama. He was a Heisman finalist, one of the premier running backs to ever play at Alabama, you know, back in the day, but it wasn't recent day, but still. So he gave his story and his triumph and over things. So anytime we can give the guys like an outside source that's been at the highest level, I feel like it gains credibility to what we're saying. Because, you know, everybody's like, oh, coach says this all the time. That's what coach always says. But when someone else from outside the walls comes in and says, no, really, that's true, or this is how it needs to look if you want to be great, I believe that advances the culture of the team and the school, because a lot of these guys play other sports, so it's not just about football.
Yeah, and with the McRae brothers coming in and all that talking, so the impact of outside sources, plus to university with Eric Lichter, as you just talked about, how's it changed the explosiveness and the speed of players on the field?
Yeah, I mean, the system obviously works, and you know, a lot of other schools have reached out and said, hey, how do we get him in our walls? And I'm like, I don't know that you can, because Coach Lichter doesn't give his secret away very often. He has to know that the school or the entity or the person is going to be all in, and he wants it ran a certain way, and that's the way you have to run it. So the speed program is very extensive. We would sprint to like off season 3 days a week, in season twice a week, and we had to stick to it. I feel like it made our players hit a lot harder, run a lot faster. And other than week one, we were really fresh throughout the games. You know, week one, we had the cramping, and we asked him, hey, what is up with this? Why is everyone cramping? And he said, well, basically because you've ran so hard and you weren't used to that. As you do that more, the cramps are going to disappear. And they did week two. So, I feel like the speed was really one of the secrets to our success. Okay, there were only a couple teams that were faster than us, and they were the teams that beat us. And the funny thing is, they have speed trainers too. So the teams that beat us, Ashland, Licking Valley, they are speed, Granville, they are speed-based programs. So they're not these big, heavy lifting programs. They're these, everything's fast, everything's quick, everything's explosive.
I have a question for Lane. Both of you can answer, but you guys have had the addition of Coach Allen on your sidelines. How has that helped you guys? Because we can see him like actively helping you guys right after plays. How has that helped?
I'm going to take it also to practice, but I think on the sideline, having that other mindset or other vision, that other way of looking at it has really helped. Some coaches, like, if we all look at it and we all see it the same way and he looks at it a different way, it can really help us if we see it wrong or if he can see it a better way so he can fix something. But I also think in practice, he almost keeps the coaches on their toes. I know he came week two before Newark, and he had all of our coaches on their toes, and we had a great week of practice. And you obviously saw that we won that game, but it just kept everybody focused, and we didn't. There was no laziness in practice. We were all went 100% every day, all week, just because of that.
Yeah, I would say having a guy like him really checks your ego at the door. I think why coaches and teams do not grow, that they think they know everything. So what we've done is we've surrounded ourselves with people that know more than we do. And if you can do that in life and surround, but people don't want to do that, right? Because they feel like, oh, I know it all. Yeah, sure, I've won a few games and I could easily go, I don't need to bring other people in. But, you know, knowing Alex, he's a running back guru. I mean, he played Division I at Akron University of Akron. So bringing a guy like that in only can help, because I didn't play Division I running back. You know, I've had a few, but maybe they were just talented. And he gives his aspect on that. And another thing that he brings in, when you're in a room with the same people all the time, you start to not see things. When you bring in a guy that's not in a room and he steps in the room, he sees things. So that's kind of another metaphor for you, as far as if you walk into a room that stinks, you notice it right away. If you're sitting in a room that stinks, you won't notice it.
Before the season, we met with them for the ATD Phase 3 camps, and I think that was a big part of it, him showing up and...
Right, attention to detail.
Mm-hmm. And then with out of his tackling, obviously Coach Richards isn't here to talk about it since he's the defensive coordinator, but how have you seen the improvement of using out of his tackling to improve us as a team?
Yeah, so that was another. Scott Lawler played for the Seattle Seahawks, but he actually has never been on campus. This is all through, you know, Skype or Zoom or whatever. But Atavis, he runs Atavis tackling, and basically Atavis tackling is AI. So it will AI our videos, our games, and it will tell us our weaknesses tackling. So basically in football, if you can't tackle and block, you're going to be bad. So we need to improve tackling and blocking, period, the end. So for tackling, we used Atavis. And this AI tool basically checked every player as they went to tackle and said, is he a good tackler? Because a lot of people in the world think, well, he got him down, so he's a good tackler. That's not necessarily true. If you hit him and he goes 5 more yards, that's not a good tackle, even though he went down. So we've really focused on those little details of how to make our guys better tacklers and how to hit with the shoulder rather than arm tackle, because we've worked on that. And we're starting to get guys that are hitting violently, causing turnovers off the hit and hitting with that shoulder to improve not only better tacklers, but safety too. So when you hit with your head up and you hit with your shoulder, it's much safer than head down, arms. Now the neck gets hit the wrong way. Atavis, I feel like, has been one of the reasons our points per game allowed has really come down.
Lane, do you have any final thoughts on what we've said so far or anything else to add?
I just want to thank the community and everybody that supported us. Without them, it wouldn't be what it is. Mount Vernon football is Mount Vernon football because of the community aspect and how much everybody cares about it. So I just want to say thank you.
And I would like to thank the community, and I would like to thank the players. I would like to thank the teachers, the parents that allow their sons to be here. Let's let this propel us into the winter sports, continue to build off, you know, what we've done, and have some championships here in the winter and the spring.
All right. Thank you guys for coming and spending the time to speak with us.
Thank you.